Alright, we're going to start here 8 lines up from the bottom, on the bottom of Nun Ted Amud Bet. We're discussing some of the other items in the Mishnah. It says, below Bekatla. We discussed Katla earlier on, but loosely translated as a choker. Here the Gemara asks, what is this Katla? My Katla, Minakta Pare. It's something that brings together the Pare. Rashi, again, gives the same definition he gave back on Nun Bet Amud Bet, which is that it's some sort of bib that the woman wears that has loops on it. She ties it tightly around her neck. Remember there, she was trying to show off that she was hefty, that she was a heavier woman, and that's why she tied it tight around her neck. That's the same reason that Rashi gives over here and explains what it is, that bib that goes around her neck. On the other hand, he brings here an alternative, that it's kamin kabus. This min kabus, you can see on the left side in the Mesoras Hashas, he gives you a picture of that metallic ring or moon that they wore, and it was tied onto the edges of the beged and filled into her neck. The third possibility is that it was a string, a choker that had beads threaded on it. So one of those items, but again, the main focus of this is that it's tight around the neck. Next thing is nizamim. So nizamim, usually translated, would be earrings. Over here, the Gemara says it's nizmei af. It's nose rings over here. So what is not permissible to take out into Rishut Rabim and to wear in Rishut Rabim is a nose ring. On the other hand, earrings would be permissible. That's what Rashi says over here. Al nizmei ozin mutarim l'chatkila. No problem. That it's hard for her to take them out and to show them to others. Because her ears are covered. Whatever it is that they're wearing, the head covering, it covered over her ears. And therefore it would be difficult for her to remove the earrings to show them off to anybody else. So earrings are okay, nose rings are not. The issue is that we had earlier on, in the previous parak, we talked about the young girls who had their ears pierced, that they had the strings that were hanging in their ears to keep the holes open. Over there they said that asur midrabanan to go out with those because they can pull them out, they can show them. So Tosafot over here wants to differentiate between those types of strings which are removed easily versus earrings which are more complex because they have a backing, whatever it is that holds them in place would make it more difficult to pull them in and out. Not with the ring that doesn't have on it a signet, a seal. Implied from that is if it did have a seal or signet on it and the woman was wearing it, she'd be chayevet, chayevet ha-chatat. Alma, what's the conclusion of that? Lav tafshchitu, it's not a tachshitu. Lav tafshchitu, it's not a jewelry, not an adornment to the woman. This is now a masui. What do you mean? If we have a problem, we have a Mishnah in Kelim that says, tachshitei nashim tmeim. Jewelry of women is tamei. Ve'elein tachshitei nashim. What's the definition of women's jewelry? Katlaot, so that we know already these chokers. Nizamim. Nizamim, again, stam nizamim means nizme ozen, means earrings. Vita ba'ot, and rings. What type of rings? Vita ba'at, ben she'esh la'chutam, ben she'en la'chutam. Whether it has a seal signet on it, whether it doesn't have a seal signet. So here is a classification of woman's jewelry, and included that is a ring with a seal on it. Benizme a'af. And then, in addition to that, nose rings. Ba'amar Rabbi Zera, lokasha. That's not a problem. Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbanon. It's the difference between who's the author of this position, Rabbi Nechemiah or the Rabbanon. D'tanya, hishu matechet. If the ring is made out of metal, v'chutma shel amug, and the seal, the signet, is made out of coral, tmeyahi, then it's tmei because the ring, which is the major portion, is made out of metal. Shel amug, v'chutma shel matechet. On the other hand, if the ring is made out of coral, and the seal or signet is made out of metal, tehora, because the major part of the ring, which is the ring itself, is made out of coral, and that is not mekabel tuma. Rabbi Chemia mitamei. Chemia says, no, it's tamei. Shai Rabbi Nechemia omer, v'tabat halech achar chutma. So when it comes to a ring, you go after the seal or the signet. It's an interesting machloket here. The Chachamim believe, I'm going to see this in 1 second, that you always go after the major portion of whatever the item is. Even though that's not the primary purpose, function, or utility of the item, nevertheless, you go after what creates the majority of the item itself. So here for the ring, you're right. The seal of the signet is the most important part. It's the utility, it's the function of the ring. But the ring itself is what holds it together, what keeps it together. It's the largest part there. So Chachamim believe you go after the ring. Rav Nechemiah says, no, you focus on the function, the utility of the item. And whatever provides the function, utility, that becomes the primary item here. So he says the seal or the signet is the primary item here. So if the seal is made out of metal, it's going to be tamei. The seal is made out of amol coral, it'll be tahor. But he says this in more than one item. He says, number two, for instance, be'ol. When it comes to a yoke of the animal, aleich achar simlonav. You should go after the pegs that hold it together. The way their yoke was, it was two pieces of wood, one that went above, one that went below, and then you sealed it together around the neck of the animal by putting pegs through it. He says those pegs are the most important part of the ul, because that's what holds it together. That's what makes it functional and working. So if those are made out of metal, tamei. If not, tahor. Chachamim are going to say the opposite. We focus on those wood pieces, which are the largest portion of the yoke of the ul. Bikolev. Haleich achar masmerotav. It's equivalent of a coat tree. You have a coat tree that has a large wooden pole, and then you have nails or pegs on the top to hang the coats on. What the pegs are, Rabbi Nechemiah says, that's the most important part. That's the function. You use the pegs to hang the jackets up, to hang up the coats. So therefore, if those are made out of metal, tameh. If they're not, tahor. The Chachamim say no. They post. The tree itself is what's important. Bisulam, a ladder. Rabbi Nechemiah says, aleich achar shlivotav. You go after the rungs. The rungs are what provide the function, the ability to climb up the ladder, so that's what's important. Chamim, again, you go after the total ladder, the sides, the boards that hold up the rungs. Varsay, alech achar shalshalotav. When it comes to these are large scales. These very large scales to weigh heavy things. So Rabbi Nechemiah says you go after the chains that hold up the two sides that allow you to weigh the items. The Chamim are going to say, wait, the scale is very large. You have a center post, you have a cross beam on the scale. Those are the more important pieces of the scale. Chamim Amrim, Akol Aleich Achar Ma'amid, which is what we've been describing all along. The Chamim believe you go after the object that holds up the item. The Ma'amid is what provides the structure of the item, and that's what's the most important part. Rabbi Nechemiah says it's the utility, the function, which is the most important part. Based on that, we'll differentiate between when you have a ring that has a seal or a signet in it. In one place, we said that it was Tachshitei Nashim, it was part of what the women wear. And on the other hand, we had a case where we said that women do not wear those. It's not considered Tachshitei Nashim. Depends what you focus on. If you focus on the ring itself, then that is considered to be Tachshitei Nashim because women wear a ring. If you focus on the Chotam, if you focus on the seal, the signet, women do not use or utilize those items. Why is that? So Rashi says, because the Chotam Lisha Lav Tachshitu, seal or signet for a woman is not a piece of jewelry, an adornment. Dein Derech Lisha Lachtom, a woman doesn't normally seal v'lishloach shluchim and send out messengers. Shein chutam asui l'adam gadol u'memuneh. Then with a person who is of stature, who is appointed to a position of power, who dictates these types of items, someone who's going to be involved in the business and in transacting and having people go out on his behalf. That's a person who needs a seal. That's not true by the woman. Rabba Amar. Rabba comes up with a different solution. He says, let's study him ketani. Study him ketani means that when you read it in the Mishnah, don't think it's only one topic. Yesh alei achotam, takshit ti'ish. En alei achotam, takshit ti'isha. So even though the heading of the Mishnah was takshitei nashim, which is the jewelry, the adornments of women, within the Mishnah, when it's talking about the items there, it adds in those both types of rings. Now when it says those rings, it says, well, you have a ring with a seal or signet on it. That is the ring of a man. Then you have the ring without the seal and signet. That's the ring of a woman. They're both tmeim, because they're both kelim. They're both used as tachshitim, but in different contexts. So they're both going to be mekabel tumah, but the gabei Shabbat will make a difference if you're a man or a woman. That's not true by the tumah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, tumah ashabbat karamit. How could you ask a question, a stira, between tumah and Shabbat? Tumah kli maseh amar rachmana uklihu. The only factor by tumah is it classified as a kli? Is it classified as a utensil? How do you know if it's classified as a utensil? Is it jewelry? Is it not jewelry? Is it worn by people? Not worn by people? Doesn't matter, man or woman here. If a man would wear such a ring, the ring is mekabel tumah, because it's a kli. Here, by Shabbat, we're more focused on whether it's jewelry for this particular individual. So in Shabbat, yeah, this ring is not a jewelry for a woman. It's considered a masui. But if I look at it abstractly and I say, is this a kli or not a kli? The answer is yes. So the gavei tuma, it is a kli, and that's why it's mentioned in the list. It's not one of the tachshitei nashim, but it's in that list there because it is truly a kli. On the other hand, when it comes to Shabbat, Shabbat mishum masui, problem by Shabbat is that it's carrying. So amachrana, ein alei chotam takshit, yesh alei chotam masui. And it's very simple. It doesn't have a seal or signet. That's a adornment, a piece of jewelry. It has a seal or signet in it. That's a masui. So you have a different din. You're looking at a different issue when it comes to Shabbat versus Tumah. Tumah, you're focused on kli. Shabbat, you're focused on jewelry versus masui. In the end, on the halach of Shabbat, it'll depend who's wearing it. And dinei tumah, it doesn't matter because it still is a kli, because a man would wear such an item, and therefore it is a ring. You may not go out with a pin, a needle, that does not have a hole in it. Not having a hole in it really removes its major function, which is it cannot be used for stitching or sewing. So in the mai chazio, what do you use such a thing for? Now the question according to Rashi and Tosafot is different. According to Rashi, the question is, the mai chazio, what makes it into jewelry versus a masui, something that you would carry around? Tosafot says here, the question is, on a weekday, what would you use such an item for? What's its primary purpose? Samar Yosef, ho v'isha ogedet bat se'ara. Because a woman rolls up her hair on it. That's interesting. Rashi thinks that it's the equivalent many times when women roll up their hair, they make their hair into a bun. They usually do it around a stick or some item that allows it to hold in place. So that's what Rashi claims this pin is used for. It's to hold the hair in place when it's rolled up or moved up. He says it has to do with some of the hair that sticks out. They roll it onto the pin and they can push it up into their head covering. The Tosafot suggests that it's more the head covering itself. The pin goes through the hair in the head covering and it holds the head covering attached to the hair. I mean, it locks the hair in place under the hair covering. It should be the equivalent of, call this loosely a garter, that is tohora v'tishtare, and it should be muteret. The way Rashi reads this, and we'll just explain what this item is a bracelet of sorts that goes around the thigh of the woman to hold up her stockings. Right, the garter is usually around the waist that's used to hold up, but here it's a specific unit that's put around the thigh itself, some sort of bracelet that locks the stocking in place. So loosely call it a garter. Now that is considered to be tehora. Tehora because it's not a kli that functions for itself, it's a kli that's used for something else. Its function, its primary usage is to hold up the stockings, not to be an item on its own. So say the same thing here by this needle. This needle is not functioning because of itself. It's only helping something else out. So that according to the Tosafot, it's easy to understand. He says you have the pin that holds the hat together, holds the hair together with the hat. Just like this bracelet, this garter holds the stocking up on the woman's leg. So since they are both functional, not for themselves, but to make something else better, make something else work, then they should be considered Tehora, they shouldn't be considered a kli at all. So according to Tosafot, means it shouldn't be considered a tachshit, and therefore there should be no chashash of her removing it on Shabbat, because it's not a tachshit that she shows off to other people. It's something that stays in place, because its whole function is to help something else. Rashi, on the other hand, says, Kevin delitzniutahi, lo shafi mechavet. Since it's made for something that is tzniut, she's not going to take it off. The garter is not something she's going to show to her friends because she would have to make herself ansanua. She would have to lift up her skirt or whatever it is to show the friends or to remove it. And that is not acceptable behavior in public. So therefore she would never show it to her friends. So don't worry about her taking it off. And let's say the same thing by the machat. The machat is made with tzniuta. It's either to roll up the hair inside of the hat or to hold the hair inside of the hat. Either way, it's something that's under the hair covering. She's not going to undo that because that's going to release the hair. So that's something also that's the tzniuta. So again, Tosafot and Rashi have slightly different malachim here through the Gemara. Rashi following the approach that they're asking, what is this? A tachshit and not jewelry. The Gemara answers, it is a tachshit because she uses it to roll up her hair. Then the Gemara moves on to the next stage and says, well, why does it matter if it's a tachshit? Because she'll never take it off at this point in time. Why is it illegal for her to go out with it? It's in a place where she would never remove it. And therefore, why are you saying it's a sur here? That's Rashi's approach. Tosafot's approach is nothing to do with tachshit. It's a question of why is it jewelry? And the answer is because it's used to hold the hair covering in place, the hair in the hair covering. And then the question is, why does that matter? Because we know something that is only there for another item. It's only there to help out another item be functional. That is not mekabel tuma. The same thing over here. This shouldn't be classified as a keli. El katargama Rav Adon Arshak made the Rav Yosef. He explained it this way. Because a woman parts her hair with it. She uses this needle to part her hair. Now, the Gemara then asks, v'shabbat l'may chazio. Why is that? What are you going to use it for on Shabbat? According to Tosafot, the question all along is, what did you use this during the weekday for? And now the Gemara moves on and says, on Shabbat, what is it? What are you going to do with it on Shabbat? The Rashi, or the way Rashi reads it, is that this is why it's jewelry. All along, this is why it's jewelry. So on Shabbat, it should be fine. Now the Gemara says it's used to part the hair. Rashi makes a statement, which he doesn't back up, and he says, you're not allowed to part your hair on Shabbat. Since you can't part your hair on Shabbat, the Gemara is now asking, what type of jewelry is it on Shabbat? What's it useful for on Shabbat? Tosafot says the question here is, okay, she uses it to part her hair, but it's still not jewelry. If it's not jewelry, then it's a masui. What on Shabbat makes it into jewelry? Tosafot's question is, what makes it to jewelry on Shabbat? Rashi says, it's jewelry, but it's not something you can do on Shabbat. So the answer of the Gemara now is, Amaravo tas shelzav yishla rosha. The needle has two ends. One end is a sharper end, The other side is a flat piece of metal. So during the weekday, she uses it, the pointy side, to part her hair. On Shabbat, she uses it decoratively by placing it on her head. On the weekday, she uses it to part her hair. According to Rashi, that's fine, that's jewelry, but it still doesn't help you because you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. According to Tosfot, it's not even jewelry if you part your hair with it, it's just a kli. So what do you do with it on Shabbat? The end is, Menichata keneged padachta. Places it on her forehead. She inserts the sharper end, the needle, upwards into her head covering. And that flat piece of metal then sits on the forehead as decorative jewelry. So that's how she wears it on Shabbat. The needle is used to anchor it into her head, not through her skull, into the head covering in the front, which allows this square or tas of zahav to sit on her forehead, which is a form of jewelry. And that's why on Shabbat, according to Rashi, it's permissible to go out with it, because that has function on Shabbat. According to Tosafot, that makes it into jewelry. Now it's being used as jewelry, not something like a hairbrush or a comb. That's a masui. Okay, next Mishnah. Lo yetzei ha'ish b'sandala misumar. A person can't go out with a sandal that is held together by nails. That it uses nails to strengthen the connection between the sandal itself and the leather that's on top of it. V'lo b'yachid. May not go out with one shoe. If he doesn't have a wound on one of his feet, the Gemara will discuss which one of his feet he has that on, but he may not go out with one shoe. The Bavli, or it seems here that the Rishonim explain, it's because when he's walking in public and people see him with one shoe, they're going to laugh at him. They're going to make fun of him. And what's he going to do? He's going to remove the other shoe and carry around on Shabbat. The Yerushalmi says the problem is, if he walks around in one shoe, people are going to think, where's the other shoe? He's carrying the other shoe in his bag and he's holding the other shoe. So there's going to be suspicion about him walking around with one shoe that he's carrying the second shoe. V'lo b'tfilin, a person may not go out with tfilin on Shabbat. V'lo k'meya, and not with an amulet, b'zman she'ena minimum chev. It's not from someone who already is expert at writing these things and it's efficacious. Now, here we go to wartime type of adornments, which are v'lo b'shiryon, a person can't go out with chainmail. V'lo b'kazdo, may not go out with a helmet. V'lo b'magefayim, not with the boots. If he does go out with them, he's not chayav chatat. Because all of these are considered to be tafshit or malbush. They are clothing, they are things that people wear. It's just not the type of things that you wear on Shabbat. We're talking about an Isur de Rabbanan, we're not talking about an Isur de Orait over here. At the Gemara, we're going to spend the rest of the day on this issue really, which is sandala misumar. What is the problem with this sandal that has the nails in it? So, Amar Shmuel, Shalfei HaGzeira Hayu. It was the tail end of the Gzeira. That's one way to interpret it. These were the Gzeirot. It seems to be the one, the Greek Gzeirot. It's actually Minyana Dioma. It seems to be the Greco-Syrian Gzeirot of Antiochus from the time of Hanukkah. So this was the tail end of those Gzeirot. That's one possibility. Or Rashi says Shalfei means those that were sliding away from the Gzeirot. Those that were hiding from the Gzeirot. They were hiding in a cave. If a person comes in, that's fine. But a person may not leave. Because when you're coming in, they can survey the area, know that nobody's watching them, and they can come in. But when you go out, you have no idea who's above you when you come out of the cave. And you might expose everybody that's there, so nobody can go out. They're afraid once you went out, they know where they were. Rashi says this a number of times. He says that this sandal misumar has the ability or an opening on both sides. It can be worn in either direction. It means that it can be worn forwards or backwards. It did have a shape, which maybe made it narrower in the front or wider in the back. I would say it's the equivalent of a wooden clog. That's what we're speaking about here. And the way Rashi describes, there was an ability to insert your foot from both sides. So somebody inserted their foot backwards, and they put it on backwards, and then they walked into the cave. Well, because of the shape of the shoe, even though he was walking in, it looked like someone had exited from the cave. One of them left, and then the enemy had spotted them. Now they're going to come. They're afraid now that they've been exposed and that they can't stay in there. They basically trampled each other. They ended up killing amongst themselves from the trampling, from the chaos that ensued, more than the enemies would have ever killed amongst them. That's one explanation of it. Rabbi Eloi ben Elazar Omer, b'mara yu yushvim. They were in a cave. V'shamu kol mi'al gabei ha'me'ara. And they heard people walking above, or they heard noise above. They suspected that they were now being attacked by the enemy. Again, they crushed each other. This was a crowd And they killed amongst each other. Again, they did more damage internally from friendly fire than they did from what the enemies would have done. A very good question. One second. They were in shul. They heard noise behind the shul. Remember, their shuls are out in the field. All of a sudden, they hear some noise behind the shul. They thought again that the enemy was attacking. They ended up trampling, crushing each other. Again, there was more problem internally than there was from the external enemy. The Ira asked, what does this have to do with Shabbat? Person may not wear these sandalim and musumarim, these sandals that are affixed, strengthened through nails. Where it says, Iachi b'chol nami litzar. What does this have to do with Shabbat? You shouldn't be able to wear these anytime. The problem is that we're afraid that when people are in tight quarters, they're going to trample each other. They're going to cause difficulty. Then that should be anytime. Where it says, Masa ki hava b'Shabbat avo. It happened on Shabbos. The incident transpired on Shabbat, and therefore there were gozer on Shabbat itself because that was the nature of the incident. It's very similar to what happens today. For instance, when an individual got on a plane and he decided he's going to blow up the plane by putting gunpowder in his shoes. So what happened after that? Everybody's shoes have to come off to check their shoes. It's basically a nature of people. They're fighting the last battle. It's not looking ahead to see what the problem will be. It's just saying, oh, this was a problem. Therefore, we're going to have to be goes there. We have to deal with that problem that happened or transpired. So they address that the issue that they just saw. So that's exactly what happened here. This is what happened. So therefore, that's going to be the gezerah. I think it's both the wooden clog plus the masmerim together because they're sharp and they're metallic. That's what caused the trampling of the individuals. Yom Tov! How come you're not allowed to wear these on Yom Tov? If the incident happened on Shabbat, why can't you wear them on Yom Tov? And Tznan, we have a Mishnah in Beitzah that tells us, and here we have in parentheses the first part, it says there, Mishalchim kelim b'Yom Tov ben tfurim ben shen tfurim. You can send on Yom Tov clothing, whether they're stitched up or not. The idea is that you can engender Simchat Yom Tov, as long as the item is not mukseh. Avalo sandala misumar, velo menal she'ena tafur. May not send over a sandala misumar, or a shoe that is not stitched up. You can't send either of those. So why can't you send a sandal misumar? The answer is because you can't wear it. And somebody would come to wear it. It looks like something they'd put on, and they'd be excited about on Yom Tov, and they might put it on. So we don't allow you to send it over on Yom Tov. So why is it that on Yom Tov you can't wear it? So where it says, Shabbat my time all, what's the reason they made the gzera on Shabbat to eat nufaya? Nufaya means that there's large assemblies. So since there are large assemblies in Shabbat, that's where you have the risk of trampling. Crowds. Where you have crowds, that's where you have this risk. So they were goes there every time they had a crowd. But Yom Tov, nami ik nufaya. On Yom Tov, you have the same problem. Yom Tov has the same experience as Shabbat, where you have huge crowds, you have the possibility of trampling. So when it says, if that's the case, Tanit Tzibor, Ikav Nufaya Litzar. What about a fast day? A public fast day also involves the gathering of the people together, everybody's together. Why don't you say there it's also a surah to wear a sandal mesumar? Should be correlated not with Shabbat or Yom Tov, should be correlated with large assemblies, whenever there's a large congregation together. So when it says, Maaseh Ki Hava B'Knufaya Di Surah. Well, the incident took place in an assembly that was on a day of Isur Melacha. So therefore, Acha Knufaya De Teravo. Tanit Tzibur, you're right, it's an assembly, but it's an assembly where there's no Isur Melacha. So because of that, we're going to separate. Va'afilu L'Rabbi Chananya Ben Akavya. Even according to Rabbi Chananya Ben Akavya, Damar. Lo Asru El B'Yardain. U'B'Sfina K'Masish Haya. Again, this is another incident which precipitated a Gzeira. They were taking the Mei Para, the Mei Chatat, which is for the paraduma, the waters that have the ashes of the paraduma on it, use it to beat the hair people. They happened to take it across the Yardain in a boat, and they found in the boat that there was a gezayit of a mate in the base of the boat, which made it tamei and ruined the mechatat. So there goes there from then on, the chachamim at least were goes there from then on, no transporting mechatat across rivers. Again, it's a similar type of idea. They had this incident, and then they're, oh, no more doing this because of this incident. Same thing, the reaction precipitated the gzeirah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya says, wait a minute, the incident was on the Jordan River in a boat. So that's the only thing we're going to be osir. When you want to traverse the Jordan River, you may not do that. But traversing any other body of water is fine. The Chananya say traversing any water is brave to go. A bridge, boat, any water is problematic. He said the only thing that's problematic is the Yardain. So over here too, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, if he holds true with his idea of where Gzeir works, we're very particular about the Gzeirah, it should only be on Shabbat, not on Yom Tov. But Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, he would say over here that Yom Tov and Shabbat are equal. Because over there, Hani Mile Yardain Deshani Mishar Ne'arot. The Jordan River is distinct from other bodies of water. Since it's distinct, you could define the Gzeira by the Jordan and not by other bodies of water. Av Yom Tov and Shabbat, ki adad eninu. Yom Tov and Shabbat are inseparable. They're the same day, basically. How do I know that? Titnan, we have a Mishnah that says, Ein ben Yom Tov de Shabbat, el ochel nefesh bilvad. Shabbat and Yom Tov are exactly the same, except for one little item, which is ochel nefesh. It happens to be a very big item. The fact is that preparation of food items or food stuff on Yom Tov is permitted, but otherwise it is Shabbat. Yom Tov is just a derivative of the paradigm of Shabbat. So because of that, even Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya would agree, in this case, that the Gzeira would cover both Shabbat and Yom Tov, not just Shabbat. Even though by the other Gzeira, he said it was only the Jordan and nothing else, over here he would not make such a differentiation. All right, now, the Gemara is going to continue. So far we dealt with what the Gzeira is and when it applies. Now the Gemara is going to say what is classified as a sandal misumar. What comes into this category to be asur? So now the Gemara says, Amar Yudam Shmuel, lo shanu ala chazik. It's only true if the nails are placed in there to strengthen the shoe, to hold the shoe together. Aval enoy, if they're placed on there for decorative purposes, adornment, mutar, then it's okay. Vikama lenoy. How many nails can you put in and still be classified as being decorative? Yochanan amar chamesh bazev, chamesh bazev, five in each of them. Rabbi Hanina amar sheva bazev, sheva bazev, seven in each of them. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Shimon Barba, Savra loch ledidi. I'll explain to you my position. Why do I say five? Shtaimikan v'shtaimikan. Two on each side. V'achad v'tarsiotav. And one of them to hold the straps of the sandal. Rabbi Hanina, according to Rabbi Hanina, why does he say seven? Gimel mikan v'gimel mikan. Three on each side that are decorative on the along the inner side and the outer side of the sandal, and v'chad b'tarsiotav, and one that's by where the straps come out of the shoe. So Mary says, Meitavei, sandal anoteh osolo sheva divri Rabbi Natan. A sandal whose sole is not flat, it is thicker on, let's say, on the outer edge, and thinner on the inner edge, then you can put in seven nails to hold it up, divri Natan. Rabbi Matir b'yud gimel. Rabbi says you can even put up to 13. Bishlam ala Rabbi Chanina hu damark Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Chanina could subscribe to the Tana's position, Rabbi Natan, and say, that's where I got my seven from. El Rabbi Yochanan, damar keman. Who does he hold like? Who does Rabbi Yochanan who gets five? He doesn't have either of the positions. Rabbi Natan says seven, Rabbi says 13. So who damar ke Rabbi Norai? He subscribes to the Tana, Rabbi Norai's position. To Tanya, Rabbi Nai Omer, hey, mutar, b'sheva asur. You can put in five nails as decorative, seven you may not. Amarlei, Eifa, the rabba of Bar Barachanot. Eifa is the shame of Vatamun Chochom. Rashi over here says he was the son of Rabbi Rechava the Pumpadita. See, he says to Rabbi Barachana, Atun Talmidei de Rabbi Yochanan, since you are the students of Rabbi Yochanan, Aviduk Rabbi Yochanan, you should practice like Rabbi Yochanan and only put in five. Anan, Navid to Rabbi Chanina, but we, on the other hand, will subscribe to the position of Rabbi Chanina that allows us to put in seven. Baminei, Ravuna Miravashi. Chamesh Mahu. You put five nails in. Amalei, Afilu Zain Mutar. Even seven is permissible. Tet Mai, what about nine? Amalei, Afilu Chet Asur. Even eight is Asur. Baminei, Haratzano Mirabiami. This shoemaker asked Rabbi Ami, what about Tafrubi Mifnim Mahu? If it's stitched on the inside, what's the din? So the way Rashi explains this is, Shnatan Mina Al Sha'or Lifnim Mina Sandal. He basically inserted a leather shoe into this wooden clog. So the wooden clog, and now he's inserted an entire leather shoe into the clog. That's one way to describe it. The other way to describe it is tefrumi bifnim, is that the attachment to the shoe is internal. So it's not exposed. You can't see from the outside how it's affixed or what is holding it in. What's the din in that case? So he answered in Amarlei Mutar. He says it's surely mutar. V'loyadana my tamo. But I don't know why. I don't remember why. I know it's mutar, but I don't remember why it's mutar. So Amarlei Rav Ashi v'loyadar mar my tamo. He says you don't remember the reason. Kevin de tafro bifnim avilei minal. Says once the stitching is internal, that turns into a shoe and not a sandal. The sandal gazru be rabbanan. It's a sandal misumar that's mentioned in the Mishnah. That's what the gzera is about. Bimina'al lo gazru banan. But a shoe does not have the gzera. Gzera, again, this is narrowing it down to the incident. The incident took place with these sandalim. I'm not sure if the focus on sandal is because they have the wooden clog sandal, so that's the problem here. That's the wooden base. A shoe does not have that type of sole, or maybe has a thinner sole, or is it simply that, like we said before, they're just mirroring the incident that happened, and there they happen to be wearing sandalim, not minalim. They didn't wear nalim. They didn't wear shoes. Vaymine Rabbi Ava bar Zavdo, mi Rabbi Ava bar Avina. Aso kamin kabus. If you made it like a kalbus, mahu, what's the din? Now, kalbus, you can see on the left there, Rashi, in the Masoret Hashas, he has the same picture we had at the beginning of today's daf. We started out, the kalbus is that moon-shaped piece of jewelry. So I would call it the equivalent of a staple. What happens if it's not put in like a nail, but rather a staple which has two sharp edges that you bang in, and the two sharp edges then stick in, and it's used more like a staple than it is as a nail? That would be the question according to the way that that looks. Other definitions of the word kalbus are tongs. Kalbus are actually tongs. And the suggestion here is, what happens if you put them in a zigzagged fashion? Put them in not like the normal way, which would be around the edges to put the nails in, but you put it in an X, the tongs, which are like scissors. So when you leave them open, they look like an X shape. So, and if you do that zigzag fashion, what's the din there? Amale mutar says that it's fine. It manami, we have a similar Amoraic statement. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, sokim in kalbus mutar. Make it like this kalbus, you're fine. Amar Rabbi Sheshet, pipu kulo masmerot, dejlote karko choto mutar. This is very interesting. If you put in nails across the entire sole on the bottom, in order to protect the sole, so the sole won't wear down. Equivalent today, what shoemakers put on the shoes, they metal tips. Then they put them on the toes or on the heels to stop you from wearing down the shoe. They put a metal tip there. So here, he did that. He placed along the whole sole of the shoe. He placed nails there to protect the sole. So in doing so, he's changed the nature of why the nails are there. They're no longer there to hold the shoe together. They're there to protect the sole of the shoe. Now, I would suggest that this is a much more dangerous shoe. But nevertheless, he says, mutar. That is totally fine, because that's not the nature of the gzerah. The gzerah is about a shoe that's held together, the chazek, oto. That's when the nails are placed in. But when you're talking about nails that are simply there to protect the sole, that's not part of the gzerah. That's not part of the issue of sandalam sumar. Tanya kavate de Rav Sheshet. We have a braita that supports that position of Rav Sheshet. Lo yitzei ha'ish b'sandalam sumar. Person may not go out with a sandalam sumar. V'lo yitayel mibayit labayit. One can't not only wear it out in public, can't even go from house to house in it. I feel mita lemita. You can't even wear it as slippers in the house to go from bed to bed. The first thing, which is very important here, is that you're allowed to carry it around, which means that it's not mukzah. Even though it's asur to wear on Shabbat, nevertheless, it does not get a status of mukzah, because the reason it's asur is only because of a gzirat chachamim that maybe you will come in to trample it. And the isur of carrying it around would be, we won't allow you to carry it because you might put it on your foot, you might wear it. So over here, the answer is that we don't say that. We don't say that problem. And therefore, it doesn't have a din of mukzah. So that's why you can carry it around. Like chasot b'atakli, if you want to put it on top of a utensil to cover it. Or the smoke b'kari amita, to hold up the bedposts from the ground. Again, those bedpost cups that you put underneath of it. This would be the equivalent. You could place it up on the bedposts. You're allowed to do this. This is somewhat problematic. If you remember, at the top of this amud, we said on Yom Tov, not let's send sandal b'sumar as a gift. Why aren't you allowed to send it as a gift? Because we're afraid he's going to wear it. We're afraid that you're going to use it, which you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Over here, it's saying it's not mukse. Tosfot over there differentiates and says, mekom makom, cannot send on Yom Tov. The ikar focus on Yom Tov is the Simchat HaYom Tov. Simchat HaYom Tov is the enjoyment of the item on Yom Tov. The major enjoyment from this item is to wear it. And therefore, if you send it on Yom Tov, we're worried about what is he going to do. He's going to wear it, because that is the Simchat HaYom Tov. That would be the excitement about it. On Shabbat, where the issue is not the focus on the Simcha, but rather on the utility, is this item useful? There, it's not going to be mukse. So the difference will be, on Shabbat, we're not worried about him putting it on, because he knows it's asur to wear. He's simply using it, utilizing it, that's not mukse. On Yom Tov, where you're sending it simply for the purpose for the recipient to get hanah, to get simcha from it, that we're not going to let you do, because he's going to put it on. That's exactly what it was intended for, the simcha that it's intended for, and therefore you can't send it on Yom Tov. But Lazar Rabbi Shimon Oser, he says that it's asur. Nashru rov masmerotav. If the majority of its nails came out, nishtar bo dalet ohei, and there are four or five remaining, mutar. Just like if you put on four or five in the beginning for decorative purposes, so to here, if there are only four or five remaining, it's mutar. Rabbi Matir ad Sheva. Rabbi says, if there's seven left, it's okay. Chipo be'or milamato. If he wrapped it up in leather below, kavolo masmerot milamalo, and he put the nails in on top, mutar. Again, then it's no longer this sandala misumar. It's a more like a shoe, or it's bound in leather. It doesn't have that wooden side of it. Aso kamin kalbus, o kamin tas, o kamin yatei, o shechipo kulo be'masmerot, kedelo shekarko choto mutar. If he made it, again, the min kalbus we had before, again, whether kalbus means, like Rashi says, he uses these tacks, or these staples instead of the nails, or does it mean it was in a zigzag fashion? Okamin tas, okamin yateid. If he puts them in a tas or yateid. Rashi explains, he says, asel the rosh masmer rachav kamin tas. He made the top of the nail, he flattened it out, so it becomes like a top of a tack. Or he made it into a spike, like cleats. So if he changes the nail, so the nail becomes functional now for the ground below. Meaning that's not simply to hold the shoe together, it has utility outside of the shoe. So if you made it into spikes, which will then be like cleats, that you're allowed to wear. If you flatten out the tacks, make them flat for whatever reason, if it gives you better grip, for whatever reason that they do that, both of those will be permissible because then it's no longer the sandal masumar that has the nails in it. These aren't like regular nails anymore. You've changed the nature of the nail over here. So either one of those, kamin tas, kamin yateid, that is fine. Oshi kibal kulo masmeirot, this is what we're after. Rav Sheshet said before, if you put the entire sole covered in nails, that's fine. The Gemara says, I see an internal stira in the Braita. If the majority of nails are out, even if there are a lot left of them, that is mutar. And then it qualifies, it says, arba chamesh in tfeilo. 4 or 5, yes. More than that, no. So Amar Rav Sheshet, lo kasha. Kan shenigmimu, kan shenekru. Depends on what happened to these nails. And Rashi gives two interpretations, one the opposite of the other, but the basic concept is the same here, which is, nigmimu milamalo virishumo nikar, betocha eitz. Afilu tuva, da minkar sheno kipriato. That if it's nigmamu means that they were pushed up, but their marking, their placement is still there. So therefore you can see that this isn't the way it was made originally. Shinekru, the gamre, if they're totally pulled out, then it's ini karbo chayaybo yoter. Then there was no sign that there was more there before. So in the case, the way Rashi explains it this way, and he said you could say the exact opposite, but the concept is the same. If you can determine, if you can see that there were many nails there, and a whole bunch of them were taken out, the marking that they were there is still there, then it's clear that people know how this was made, and that it's missing those nails. And that's why this individual is wearing them. He's wearing them because he's missing those nails, and the ones that are left are okay. On the other hand, if it's kagon, as Rashi says, shenek rule gamre, totally taken out, you can't see there were nails there, then 4 or 5 is fine, because that is decorative. You want to leave them the equivalent of what it would be when it was decorative, and that's fine. Otherwise, you can't have more than that. So the question of majority or not majority has to do with the nature of how the nails were removed. If they were removed in such a manner that you can still see the markings of them, Rashi says, that's fine. Because it's clear that this is not the way it was made, and it no longer qualifies as a sandala musumar. Because the original nails that were there to be mechaberet, to join it together, to mitchazek, to keep it strong, are missing. And so it's not a sandala musumar. On the other hand, if you remove them and they're no longer visible, you couldn't tell they were there, then 4 or 5 is okay, nothing else is okay. Because when the Rishimo Nikar, you could see that they were there and they were taken out. Here, it is a sandal misumar, and if it has the requisite amount, which is 4 or 5, it's okay. If it has more than that, then it won't be okay. Rashi says, V'lashon chaviro ipcha, says that somebody gave the exact opposite explanation. But the idea being whether it's obvious that there were other nails here, or it's not obvious that there were other nails here. Arba chamesh mutar. We said before in the Braita that if you have 4 or 5, it's mutar. Mar says, chashash ashto chamesh sharei arba mibai? You can tell me you can put in 5, why do you have to tell me you can put in 4? So I'm Rav Chista, arba misandal katan, chamesh misandal godol. You can have 4 in a small sandal, and 5 in a large sandal. What's interesting here, and as you see, there's a large Tosfot here, discussing says, we have this all over Shas. But the Gemara will say, oh, you can put 2 or 3 in. You can put 5 or 6 in. Gemara never asks, oh, you said 6, why did you say 5? You said 3, why did you say 2? The Tosfot distinguishes, it's an interesting distinction that he makes, says, anytime the Gemara means this and this, and even more. When it says 5 or 6, and it means 5 or 6, or 7 or 8 or 9, over there the Gemara doesn't ask a question, because that's the way that people speak. You can say, take 10, take 12. That means take as many as you want. That's the concept that's being espoused there. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't ask, why did you say 5 and 6? Over here, and in other places where the number is exact. The second number, when he says here, 4 and 5, he means exactly 5 and no more than 5. So if you're going to give an exact number, then why do you mention 2 numbers? Why mention 4 and 5 when 5 would have sufficed if that's the cap, if that's the limit as to which you go? And that's why the Gemara poses the question here. It says 4 or 5. Just say 5. 5 is the limit, and it's an exact number. Say 5. If again it meant 4 or 5, it meant 6, 7, 8. Also, any amount you want, then the Gemara would not ask or pose the question here. Rabbi Matir at Sheva. Rabbi says you can have up to 7. Vatanya Rabbi Matir at Shlosh Esrei. He says you can put up at the 13. So Gemara says, note shiny. That makes a difference because of note. The note was again above. I didn't describe it above, and I didn't spend time on it because the Gemara is going to get back to it, which is the soul that is not even. You have an uneven soul. So how does he even out the sole? He puts in nails along the side that is thinner. And therefore, it creates now a flat base for the sole, a flat surface. So that's what the Gemara says, note shiny. Whenever you have that question, then it's obvious that he's wearing it. It's not longer a sandal misumar, and it's not put in there lechazek at the shoe. It's there simply to even out the sole. And by evening out the sole, that's not under the guidelines of sandal misumar. So all the nails there are useful for the sole of the shoe, and they will not count against you, I mean in terms of sandal misumar. So Gemara says, hashdati lehochi. If you got this far, Rabbi Yochanan nami lokasho. It's not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, note shiny. So before, if you remember, the bright that we brought spoke about note. And over there, they had Rabbi Natan who said, Hanote osilo shevet can make seven. Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Matar biyud gimel. He said up to 13. And we said, where's the source for Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said 5. The answer is that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have a problem anymore. Rabbi Natan and Rabbi were talking about a case of note. They're talking a case of this uneven soul where the nails don't count. We don't worry about that. That's not under sandal misumar. So that's why they're talking about 7 and 13. When he talks about 5, he's talking about a sandal misumar when they're there to be mechazik. They're there to hold it together. Amar Rav Matna, Amar Ila, Amar Rav Chavai, Bar Matna, Amar Rav Matna. Ein alocha ki Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. The alocha is not like Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, who said in the braita that we just brought before, that it's oser. He was oser in the case that they are muksa. He says that sandal misumar is muksa. It's not just a problem of wearing them. When it says pshita, why do we have to tell me the alocha is not like Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon? Yochid b'Rabim, alocha g'Rabim. What's the question? He's an individual against the Chachamim. So, Ma'adu Teyim Mistavra Taimi the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position makes sense. His position is it's mukse because if I let you carry it, you're going to end up wearing it. Maybe that makes sense. Kamash Falan. But despite the fact that his reason makes sense, nevertheless, we do not paskin like him. Rabbi Chia, Ilav the Korli Bavlai Shari Yisurei. Rabbi Chia, who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and went and learned by Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, if it wasn't for the fact that we'd start calling me the Babylonian Matir, and someone who always comes up with kulas and is matir everything, Shrina Beituva, I would have let a lot more nails on here. I would sit as many as you want. It's only because he came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they sound like in Eretz Yisrael, they were much stricter, they had a lot more chumrot, and therefore he's coming from Chutz Laaretz with all these kulas, and they didn't want to be called the Babylonian Mekil. So therefore he says, otherwise I would have just let it all go. So Bukamo, how many would he be allowed? So he says, Bupumpudita, Amrin, Esrim Varba. And Bupumpudita, you can put on 24 nails. And Besura Amrin, Esrim Vitaritin, 22 nails. Amr Rav Yavnechman Beitzach, Vesimanech. How do you remember which one is which? He says, Ad Atam Bupudita Lesura. By the time you travel from Puptita Surah, Chaser Darte, your shoe wears down 2 of the nails. So if you start out with 24 nails, by the time you walk from Puptita Surah, 2 of the nails will be worn down, you only have 22 left. So that's how you remember it. I don't know what he was doing. But that's, he was just making a broader statement about how he feels that in Bavel they were much more makil than in Eretz Yisrael. And he would be willing to be matir in Eretz Yisrael if it weren't for the fact that they would make fun of him. That they would, question his ability as a posek if he was matir so many. I don't think he's wearing them and they're asking him, oh, how come you have so many nails in your shoes? It doesn't sound like it was an incident. Okay, well, we'll stop over here.